This is RSVP Update, episode 419, recorded Friday, June 28, 2013. A Caesar Crown. Hello, everybody, and welcome to RSBNB Update. Yes, I did say that intentionally. I'm not having a stutter effect.
Are you sure?
Yes, I'm 100% sure. Welcome to you. You glad to be here with us again this week?
Why not? I'm here.
Yeah. Yeah, so we got a bit of a tiny update to discuss this week, but we also got some interesting and controversial things. First up this week is the Far and Wide Transport Update. So this is the update that is to the Lodestone Network, and that's, of course, that free teleport network. What did you think of this when you saw they were going to be adding a whole bunch of these things to the game?
What I think about it, less law runes I have to use.
Oh, so you're happy about it?
I'm neutral on it.
Okay.
I'm happy that they added the, made it closer to the frequent aisles. I have to teleport only to Lunar.
Okay, even though there's one on Lunar Island, though.
There's always been one on Lunar Island.
I know. So why do you need the one on the Fremenic place, then?
So I don't have to take three boats just to get back there.
Yeah, I guess that's true. The new Lodestone teleports are in Knifis, Eagle's Peak, Fremenic Province, Karamja, Uglog, Taranwin, and the Wilderness of Volcano. Knifis is just off by the Slayer Master there, on the way to Fenkenstrain's castle. Eagle's Peak, that one's pretty self-explanatory. It's right where the bottom of Eagle's Peak is, where we did that Firemaker's Curse quest. Fremenic Province, this one is near the Black Unicorns, and is a short trek up towards the Rock Crabs and the boat to the Penguin Island. That one already came in useful to me because I was doing a clue scroll and I had the Rock Crab clue, so just take that one and it's a few steps away. The only problem, just a side note, with that clue and the multi-combat nature of RS is that you're constantly under attack by rock crabs now when you're attempting to do that. That's a topic for later. There's also Karamja. That one is just by the entrance to the Brimhaven dungeon, so if you're going there for a Slayer task, this is a good one to have.
Sweet.
Now, Uglog, this one's very good as well. It is very, very close to the red sandstone rocks. So the idea being is that you can take your teleport directly to this place, and a few steps away is the red sandstone. Teleport away somewhere else to a bank, say Edgeril perhaps, with your Amulet of Glory, and there you go. The Taranwin one is in a bit of a odd area. It's not exactly near any hunter areas, and it's not near the magic trees. It's kind of north of the poison wasteland in the center of the place. So I guess if you're going hunting, this would be the one to do, but with the amount of traps you have to navigate, I don't see what the difference is between taking this and maybe the elf crystal seed. Then, of course, Wilderness Volcano, quick way to get into the wilderness, but beware before you use that one. So, just because you know the wilderness is a dangerous place now.
Oh, really? It's a dangerous place now? I thought it's always been dangerous.
Yeah, because they remove the skulls, you know, so you practically lose everything if you go in there. So that's where these ones have been placed around the world. It's kind of a mixed blessing whether or not you need to use a lodestone teleport or a conventional teleport, because the conventional teleports really don't feel all that useful anymore with this, At least that's how I feel. What about you?
The way I think a regular teleport is still good. I kind of just use that when if I'm near a bank, but if I'm too lazy to enter my bank PIN, I do that. But regular teleports are still useful to me.
Okay. They also made some other teleport changes to existing items, such as the Narda teleport scroll has become the Polivnich teleport scroll. It takes you just south of the well, which we were discussing this earlier in the week because you already have the Slayer ring to go to that place, and that's relatively close as well. That's not exactly a big place, so this change is kind of questionable. Because Narda also has its own set of uses, so it's too bad that had to change. The Carl teleport spell, that's the ancient teleport that takes you into Caniffus, is now closer to the bank rather than in the pub. And the glory amulet now takes you to the Shanty Pass when you choose Alcarid.
Yay!
The Taibowani teleport scroll takes you slightly closer to the Calquit batch.
And the Rakella Lair teleport stuff takes you directly into the town. Closer to the docks, which is good. Well, good and bad.
Yeah, and you know, for that one, there's always the option, if you have done the quest, just to modify a house teleport tablet and go directly there that way. So,
I still have a ton of rock teleport tablets, actually.
Yeah, those are rather useless, I think, for us. So,
I made them way back when I was just trying to curious what they did. So I made a giant batch, and I've just been slowly using them up.
Yeah, I still got Falador tablets from my when I got farming. I provided teleport tablets to people to get to Falador because that was back in the day when some people didn't carry runes and whatnot, but now that's really not much of an issue. So I know what you mean with that. I don't think there's really anything else to discuss from this. There's no negative side effects, and it doesn't affect the economy in any way, so just enjoy the new ways of getting around. That's all I got to say with this, unless you have anything else.
Unless you're one of those who like to hunt black unicorns for the horns. If that would be useful for you. Lowstone teleport right next to it.
Yeah, there's that. And there's also the one in the wilderness that goes kind of in that area as well.
Yeah, so that's going to be a camp to hell.
Yeah, and you know that makes sense. Because when you're leveling up, unicorn horns are now a good commodity, of course, to get. Not only because they make the standard poison potions, but they're also used for the unicorn stallion familiar. And we know that those are one of the main healing ways. If, you know, for some reason you do need healing in this game anymore. Do you?
I think most people use that for the cure spell. Healing? Yeah. But yeah. Yep, sometime. Depending on what I'm fighting. If I'm too lazy to actually activate my ultimates or whatnot.
So I'll just bring it up. Because I did a task of I have blue dragons this week, 170 of them. I didn't touch my food and I didn't touch my prayer. Anyways, moving on from that, the release notes from this week. I'm going to highlight a couple of interesting things. You can do so as well if you so choose. But first off, the animated suits of armor in the Warriors Guild now use more modern pieces of equipment. They don't look like the older ones. Pets no longer turn green in the Dominion Tower.
They were green.
I'm guessing they lost their textures or something like that.
No, they were poison tribbles.
That's great. Also, experience rates have been increased in the sinkhole for players with a dungeon level at 100 or higher. So that's you.
Woo! More reason to do sinkhole if I actually get people, if I actually find time to do it. Jeez.
Yeah, you know, I can never find out when the sinkholes are happening.
Beats me.
Also, Wilderness Warbands will now spawn on a set 7-hour rotation to keep all worlds synchronized instead of 7 hours after a world has rebooted. Also, players now only have 20 minutes to initially interact with a warband. Interacting with one will extend life by up to 10 minutes. So that's a good change, because having them all at a world synchronized time definitely makes things easier for the players who are wanting to partake in them. Because if not, you know, like I said, when this thing came out, it was impossible to find out when it was happening. So it's good they've corrected that finally.
Sweet. What else we got here? Clan kill counts now work correctly. The raptor will no longer die to so-called brutal dream dragons. Okay.
Oh, there's also the thing about the gilded pickaxe.
Really? Oh, yeah. What is it?
Gilded pickaxes can now be placed in the tool belt. The gold nymph will also gild the pickaxe in your tool belt.
Now I'm wondering if I should put it in my belt or not.
I don't know. If it's a dragon pickaxe, I wouldn't, because those are still so expensive.
Well, I'll just go farming at Trigors again for the heck of it and increase my prayer.
Oh, and you charms. Went there?
No, don't have time.
Oh. All right. Yeah, but there's also some good stuff in the patch notes here, so if you want to read more of them, you can just head on over to the show notes at update.rsbmb.com and do so. All right. So, RuneFest 2013 has been announced. Mm-hmm. November 2nd, 2013. Where will it be held? Southeast England in the United Kingdom. Most likely London. More information will follow in the following weeks regarding ticket price, venue, and the activities at the event. So, now, what do you think of this? You think it's the right decision?
It's locally based, so from their point of view, sure. But so, what's wrong with it?
Exactly.
What's wrong with it?
That's the stance that I took time.
What is wrong with it?
What is wrong with this? Nothing. It's the perfect decision to make.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Why you say that?
Well, like I said, it's a UK-based company. It makes sense that it should be in the UK because it's easier to move your employees if they're based in the UK and you have an office actually in London. It's easier to move them an hour and an hour and a half away rather than moving them across an entire ocean to the United States like some believed was going to happen with RuneFest. It would just really not be that feasible to move the amount of people that are there. That is my thinking as to why they didn't do it in the U.S. Now, with this, there's a whole shitstorm brewing on the forums of what exactly happened and why this was the case. I mean, there was a poll at the end of 2011 asking where would you prefer to have RuneFest, and you know, New York won it. I think London either came in second or third, if I remember correctly. I think it might have been third. Now, granted, they're both expensive cities and whatnot, but people took this in the wrong way. They took it as a guaranteed content poll, when clearly it was not. Now, I understand how that can be misleading to some people, but just because something appears in the quick poll on the front page doesn't mean that's going to become fact and happen. Because those quick polls, as you know, can be voted in numerous times by any different people. You just need to clear your cookies for that to happen. So you really can't take the results of that poll to faith. And also with this, you know, like I said, it's a UK-based company, and it's always been in the UK, and RuneScape has a specific UK-based heritage. If you look back at specific events, they have done in the past all sorts of little spring things, you know, like the Lilies of the Valley. They've They've celebrated the Queen's birthday. They've celebrated the royal wedding and that sort of thing. So it is UK-based, and it makes sense to hold it in the UK.
Mm. Although they should really do something in the US, though.
Why?
Why not? Most of the players who are from the US. Would it make sense? I'm not saying to, you know, bring up the whole thing, but, you know, Comic-Con is always here. E3 is always here. Not that hard to, you know, set up a booth about what's going to happen. And as you have always said before, man, people still treat RS as a kiddie game.
Exactly.
So wouldn't it be good to finally go through that and say, hey, we're not a kiddie game anymore, or we're moving away from it?
Yeah, you know, that's true.
But why they're not doing very well with their public relations, at least not in the U.S.
Exactly. And with that point, what you say about having a presence at Comic-Con or E3, that, you know, that would have been a perfect thing to do this year, thinking about it with RS3 coming out, don't you think?
And the fact that, well, no, everybody was going over the Xbox hate at the moment, so
yeah,
Jagas wouldn't even be on the radar.
Yeah, and the question is, would people laugh at RuneScape for being at E3 without even looking at what they're doing? So, I mean, that sort of thing is the thing that needs to be addressed with RS. And like you say, it is a PR problem. I know people still think it's got this perception, and that needs to change at some point. And maybe with that change, maybe at some point there'll be an office in the U.S. or something, and then if they had a permanent office in the U.S., that would have provided a springboard for this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I'm fine with it being in the U.K. I am not going to it. I really don't have any desire to go, but we'll try and provide the usual kind of coverage that we do with that.
We do have UK-based players on our forum. Exactly. You could ask them. You should ask them. You should pay for their ticket.
No, they're already going on their own. They don't need us to pay for a 100-pound ticket. That's for sure.
Hmm.
Anyways, so RuneFest 2013, November, London. We look forward to it. It's always nice to see what's coming down the pipe at RuneFests. All right, next up is the community roundup, and we got the winner to the RuneScape Journey competition. Remember when we discussed this, that they were asking for people to describe what RuneScape means to you?
Hmm. Right.
The winning entry is actually pretty good. Starts with someone who started playing RS back in 06, I believe it was, if I remember correctly, and he goes through all the friends that he met and all the social interaction it provided and how that led to a girlfriend and then ultimately a real-life meetup. So that is the epitome of what is possible with RS.
Hmm.
And this guy is still playing RS, so you can just have a watch through this video here of his entry, and he also composes his own RuneScape music as well. So the definitely top marks for effort there, and it's easy to see why they chose this one.
Right, what's next? Let's see.
Next is a little bit of an event that they're running on the forums this weekend. It's the new player welcoming event. They're encouraging new players to check out the distractions and diversions that takes place this weekend, Saturday and Sunday. So they have a forum thread set up where you can check out what's going on and maybe go learn about a new distraction and diversion if you're one of those types. And then also in the community roundup, we've got some fan art illustration of the Tears of Guthix.
Mm-hmm.
And a redo of their old loyalty scheme banner. So these both look pretty good.
Okay, what's the next one? Let's see.
Oh, and there's also the reminder about the players gallery that at their entries for the next Players Gallery end on June 30th, this Sunday. So you'll want to, if you're an artist, take note of that. All right. Okay. Next up, new interface system enters open beta. So hey. Did you get access to this when it first started?
Yeah, we're both premium subscribers.
Oh, right. Of course, I forgot that. So every RS player will be able to log in and access it, free our members. So with this, they also launched a bunch of fixes, including an improved bank interface. The bank's been updated finally. A quick inventory options. So basically, there's two more slots on the action bar. You can set specific items to take up a slot on the action bar, so you no longer need to waste an action bar slot for skilling-based items. What do you... Okay. So let's just say, like, you can essentially set it up so that you can set your iron ore, for example, to be one of these new slots, and then you just drop it. So basically, it's two slots that are designed to work with your inventory exclusively rather than combat abilities.
Okay, let's see what else we got here. Ooh, shoot.
What do you think?
Accidentally closed down the other window. So what do you think of the whole thing?
I think it's improving slowly but surely. It really has evolved in a bit of a direction that to the point where it's actually usable, so that's good. I'm not a fan of the new bank interface. In my view, it's too dark compared to the rest of the interface out there. And it just feels like it should be resizable, like the other interface elements are. You have to go into the actual editing view to resize it. It's not one of the live resizable items that you can just resize, like you can, for example, resize a chat bane. So,
yeah. Why don't you build a custom client so we can use yours?
That would be illegal.
No, it's not.
Sure it is.
Nope.
It is illegal to have a custom RS client.
Not if you know the right people and put some money under the table.
I don't think so. Anyways. Also speaking on the interface system, they have posted the design competition winners. So before we critique them, what do you were you surprised at these?
Which one?
The first one in particular.
Shoot, my thing is screwing up. There we go. I don't think I was really surprised. I think my main concern is that I wish they kind of made resizable ones. Because I don't play RS on a full screen, and they're kind of designed for a full screen. That's not what I want.
Mm-hmm. I was really shocked when I saw this one, that one. The idea behind it is that it's a social interface designed primarily for chatting, hence the four chat tabs on the side. So they said it's going into the game as being called social. So that's the idea behind it. And apparently the person who does this likes to talk a lot. So that was his justification behind it. And it's easy to see that's the case. But it just utilizes too much of the left-hand screen, I think. So, I'm actually a fan of the second one that was submitted here. Unfortunately, this person doesn't get to have it in the game. But this one is a version that relies on the top, looks like maybe, 80% of the screen related to game content. Chat on the left, and then friends and clan stuff, and then the map, followed by the inventory, worn items, stats, prayer, and then ability sections. So this one I actually like. I'd have to say this one's pretty good. And, you know, one could say that this could even be adapted to something like the one that I submitted for large screens. So this is a good idea, and, you know, it definitely has merit, I'd say. What I did once this was announced and I knew that I didn't win, I posted the one that I did on RuneWire. So if anybody wants to have a look at the third competitor, the one that probably should have won, you can just have a look in the show notes and find my link to the one that I did.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, I'm, of course, a fan of my own work, but I'd appreciate some critique on what you guys think and whether or not you'd end up using something like this. Like I said in the thing, it's going to end up being a video for large displays. So anyways, link is in the show notes. Have you come up with any good interface setups?
No, that's not what I do. That's not my forte. That's what you like to do. You're a tinkerer, Shane. You can tinker with a UI for weeks on end and still not be
satisfied. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
You know what you are? You're basically a Miles O'Brien when he ends up turning 70 years old and tinkering with, with tricorders.
Yeah, that's true. So, that's that. Tell us about this Squeal of Fortune thing.
Squeal of Fortune. Want a chance to get a rare? Well, spin the Wheel of Destiny. So, what you do is you spin the wheel and you get a chance to collect items. And these, after you get 500 of these items, you can actually combine them to get it to form a rare. Can you get all 500? Sure. You want to make it faster? Give some money. Oops, sorry.
Apparently you can also get them through skilling as well.
Yeah, really? I didn't notice that.
Yeah, that's what I heard, but I don't see anything in the notes here. So
I haven't heard anything about that one.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Here we are. Skill, herbalore, woodcutting, farming, or fire making.
Okay. Guess yeah. I'll make some bonfires tonight.
Yeah, there you go.
Let's gather around the bonfire.
You get 500 of any type and combine them to create the coronet of the seasonal theme. And then once you have all four, you combine them to get the crown of the seasons. Don't you think it looks kind of like a little bit of a party hat?
I don't know.
A party hat with foliage on it.
So it looks like a Caesar crown.
A what?
Caesar crown.
What is that?
Roman empires had the golden leaf thing around their heads.
Oh, okay. Well, in that case, then yes, that is what it looks like, because there's a crown and then there's leaves. There's even some golden leaves for fall. And of course, you can also change it depending on the season, so that you make sure you're in the right hemisphere.
So it's changeable. That's interesting.
Yep, that's
so
weird.
I think, honestly, these things look better than the fish mask. So what is the price of the fish mask now? Let's see.
Oh.
Let's take a look. Take a quick pick.
Let's see. Fish mask, 1.6 mil.
We lost money, man.
No, I got mine at 1.3.
Really?
I think so, yeah.
Wow. Oh, I should have sold it with 7 mil in July. Oh, no, wait. I didn't buy that for 7 mil. Yeah, it's been steadily declining because it's just damn ugly. Oh, well.
Yeah, I bought mine at 1.3.
You just sell it now. It's still profitable.
I'm going to make 300K on it. I might as well just keep it and hope it raises in value one day. And then there's also the fur hat as well. That's kind of taken a dip recently, so that should be interesting to see what happens with it. But, you know, as I've said before, I think it's good that they're adding new rares into the game. Even if it's through Squeal of Fortune, there is a way to get it through in-game mechanics that doesn't involve spending real money. And, you know, that's what it comes down to, and it's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. So, yeah, I think these things look good. They look nice. I think my only issue with them, it's going to take me a while if I can even collect 500 of them.
Well, I've been getting on the order of 50 per day, and we have until the 8th to get it. So I don't exactly know if I'm going to accomplish this. It seems kind of like a hard thing to do if you're just going with the daily two spins, and keep in mind this is with three spins and sometimes a double spin. I think I got about maybe 200 before of the blossoms, so I haven't seen any of the seeds, leaves, or branches yet. So I wonder if these are tradable. I don't think they are.
Should be. Let me see.
Like the little pieces, if they were tradable, that would be another good thing. You could get together with your friends and see what you can do.
Tradable. Nope. Cannot trade.
Oh. Okay. No. Yeah, so it says, are seeds, blossoms tradable? Yes, from player to player in equal quantities. This means you can trade 100 blossoms for 100 leaves. You cannot buy the seeds, blossoms, leaves, or branches on the exchange, though. But the coronets are not tradable.
Yeah, once you've made them, they cannot be traded. Django.
Yeah. And you do lose the coronets when you make the Crown of Seasons, so.
Yeah, and you have to, you're only tradable in equal quantities, so you cannot be like, I want to buy this. You have to find someone who's willing to trade you this for that. There's no haggling of paying extra cash.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, you could pay extra cash, but then that's a trust system.
And, you know, it's good they did that, because remember what happened with the Christmas things?
Way back when?
No, this year.
Oh.
The Christmas gifts. Uh-huh. People were selling them for huge amounts of money on the exchange.
Okay.
So, yeah. Definitely going to try and get one of these, because this one actually looks decent, like the fur hat does. And, you know, it makes sense to be a... Like, we missed out on the first generation of rare collecting, so why not get involved in this second generation, you know?
Hey,
it's the
next
generation of rare collecting. Hmm?
I got a scythe.
I want that.
I can literally become the Grim Reaper.
Yes, that wouldn't be too far out of the truth now, would it?
Well, because I'm like talking like death now or something.
Yep.
Joy. Actually, you know what's funny? You know how I kind of like wearing my ghostly robes? A friend of mine wanted to do engineering, so I went down there dressed in all ghostly robes and like stood right there in the middle of nowhere. He saw my dot, but he couldn't see me for a while. He was like,
"You're lucky PvP wasn't enabled. He might have tried to kill you."
No, it was Dungeon Area. There's no PvP in that area.
I know.
But
if
no,
there was.
But he said he couldn't see me. I kind of found a spot where I was like very, very well hidden too. So it was funny. Took him a while. Oh, there you are. Haha. I couldn't find you. I saw your dot, but I couldn't see you. I had to scroll my camera around before I finally saw your face. It was hard to see my face because I was doing the handstand too to rest.
Mm.
Giggity.
All right. So we got two BTS videos again this week. Next week, we hope, or we think, is that a new boss is coming to RuneScape. And it is going to be a boss kind of like the Kalphi King, but harder, in that it can adapt to what players use against it. And apparently, you're also going to be able to climb on top of this boss and fight it from there. So that's how large the thing is.
So we're going to be crushing this thing for a while.
Yeah, pretty much. And it's going to drop the equipment for level 90 magic. So the armor, the wand, and the staff.
Damn. Well, at least
and
I got
a little special orb for offhand.
Ooh, that sounds nice.
Yeah.
So now we need a range update.
No, we got the ascension stuff back in June. Remember that?
Something more in between. Yeah, well, okay.
And also in the RS3 BTS, there's the sixth age preview part one, and it shows that some of the things that are happening in the sixth age are that we're actually going to get to learn about the Elder Gods. And the Elder Gods, just as a bit of a preview, are the gods that actually created the world and then left. So we're going to be finding out where they went and what their intentions were and what they actually left behind. Specifically, Elder Artifacts, we know. The Stone of Jazz is one of them, and there are many others as well that are going to be touched on and revealed in the upcoming Sixth Age. So, very interesting indeed.
So when are they going to announce Divination?
I don't know, but that'll probably come out in August or September sometime, I'm betting.
Okay.
Based on the time frame and whatnot, and then, you know, Divination, Elder Gods, kind of makes sense now, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be doing something to be linked with the gods in some way or one another. It's definitely going to be very interesting. So have a look at these two videos. All right. So that's it for RS updates. We're going to move on to the questions now. We got one audio question this week from 101Duck1.
Salutations, Shane and Trekkie. This is 101Duck1 with another question for you guys. With the 4th of July fast approaching here in the US of A, freedom is a very central topic now more than ever. With that in mind, I'd like you both to tell us what you think about the quantity and quality of our RuneScape-related freedoms. What freedoms do you think should be added or removed? In a completely separate topic, if you had the ability to choose one of the spells, excluding teleports, from any spellbook in RuneScape to use in real life, which spell would you use and why? As always, thank you guys for your time and the great show. Have a good one.
So, okay. What do you think?
You first.
All right. With regard to the freedoms part of the question, one thing I'd like to be able to see in-game would be the ability to maybe, I don't know, stage my own bank robbery, knock down some walls, perhaps, blast holes in walls. I mean, the wise old man was able to do that, and I'm sure, having 99 magic, I have a higher magic level than him, so I'd like to be able to do some kind of stuff like that as well. Maybe not as extreme, but definitely outside of the norm of what looks to be a standard mold for the players. Another thing that would be nice, speaking of freedoms in general, I guess, would be the ability to have, I mean, it'd be kind of hard to do, but, I mean, have multiple affiliations to the new God Emissaries,
mm-hmm.
perhaps. Because, you know, there are some things good about some, and there are some good about other things, other emissaries as well. And what would be wrong with being a double agent? And I think that would make things turn out kind of interesting. Like if, for example, you were playing the Zaros and Sarah card at the same time.
That would be interesting. You see who your true allegiance are.
Yeah. But aside from that, just I guess, speaking from the, like, there's the character point of view, and those two are character point of views. But speaking from the player point of view, like I said, there's always a line between character and player, and separating things out between character and player. Something I talked about in the past, and it'll be interesting to look back on the new UI and see how exactly that's been done. So with that same character player divide, I think it would be nice to be able to see maybe the freedom, I guess, to reset a skill back to level one. You know which one I'm talking about?
I'm going to guess for you it will be Dungeoneering.
Woo!
Ooh, ow, damn. Ooh, Shane, too loud.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Ow. No, no, knowing you'll be woodcutting, followed by farming.
No, farming.
Gee, y'all think?
And I'd also like to undo my 99 attack skill and fletching as well. I regret getting those 99s. But that's okay. It for me on that one.
Okay.
And you?
Me? What am I proud of? Freedom. Shoot. You know, my freedom is to be able to turn the thing off when I'm done with it. There are times when I just don't feel like doing anything.
Like when I follow you?
You never follow me. You can never find me anyway.
Oh, I bet I could with the new join and trail options.
Sure, go right ahead. Try it right now.
Oh, is that an invite? Are you online?
Oh. Yes.
Huh? Okay, let's give this a try.
I'm always online while you're doing this.
Oh, well, that's why your attention's divided then. Jeez.
My attention's not divided. Do you want to listen to the Chinese TV show that's across the hall? No,
no.
I was moving about.
Oh. I had no idea. See, that would be something interesting if you did video. But anyways, while I'm doing this, do you have any other freedoms you'd like to mention RS-wise?
Freedom, RS-wise.
You're in a citadel. I can't follow you there.
Why do you think I said you'll never follow me? Stupid fool. Foolish mortal. Okay. What would I do? Well, I don't know. I'm happy with what I got here. I guess if I could, I would like to be able to repeat some of the quest again.
Oh, or, yes, that too.
At the very
wouldn't
least,
it be nice
see
to replay
the
through the replay all the elf quests when they finally release that thing.
Actually, it would be nice if they showed the cutscene again on when we did brain surgery.
What?
Yeah, there was a remember that quest where we did brain surgery.
No.
Yeah, we did.
I don't remember that.
Of course you don't. It was you were distracted by a kitten playing with yarn.
What?
I'll find it for you. Just keep going.
All right. Well, on to the second part of the question. What magic spell, aside from teleports, would we like to have in real life? This one was easy for me. High alchemy.
Yeah, I'm sure you would love to run down your street and be like high-alking every single car for face value.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Uh-huh. Next thing you know, be like, where all the cars go? I don't know. I high-alked the Mercedes Benz and I got like 60 grand right off the bat.
I don't know what you think of, but I don't live in a neighborhood that has Mercedes Benz sitting around.
Shane, there's always a Mercedes Benz somewhere.
Not in this neighborhood.
You're just not looking hard enough. Or you don't go out at all. See? That's the truth. Every time you do that, I know that's true.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is. Here we go. Brain surgery. The Great Brain Robbery.
Oh, right. Now I remember. Thank you.
There you go. Fool. Okay, what's next?
All right. You never said what magic spell you'd prefer.
Oh, what magic spell? Shoot, I wouldn't mind being able to fire blast some people, but you know, I guess that's a non-lethal method. Stun would be nice.
Especially all right. If...
No, screw stun. What would I do? How about the ability to create teleport tablets?
They said that no
teleport
good.
Spells, but I can make teleport tablets. Ha ha. Ooh. Phone call. Oops.
No.
Yeah, there we go. I'll be able to make teleport tablets. Gotta love loopholes.
And then teleport into the game.
No, well, actually, if you think about it, I'll teleport into the game, think how much power I would have. I actually would have the reflexes of a real human being instead of the game.
You know, maybe the Elder Gods are human.
No, one was a giant alien, one was something, and one some kind of demon.
Yeah, the demon's you.
Why would I actually, if I was in RS like that, I would be the demon. It would be nice to play the bad guy for once in my life.
All right.
Supreme Overlord.
Thank you, 101 Duck One, for that inspiring question. And hopefully the freedom was on the kind of wavelength you were thinking of, because I think of it as player versus character kind of thing. So hopefully that was the right way. All right. You want to read the next one?
Okay. Hello, host. I was doing... Starting over. This question is from Veteran. Hello, host. I was doing Slayer, and I was hovering over my Slayer helmet for a second and saw that it only gives about a bonus of 30 armor and 60 life points. Why doesn't the Slayer helmet have better stats? I think the stats should at least increase based on your Slayer level. Opinions? Well, keep in mind that if you look at the helmet, it's really designed for level 10. What really gives you the extra stats on it is the fact that if you added everything in and you're doing a Slayer task, that's where all the benefits come up. The increased hit rate, extra damage, extra chance to hit, more damage, and everything else. So I think it kind of balances out, especially if you've got full damage and magic and everything else works really well.
Yeah, that's true. But it is a very, very poor armor value given EOC and whatnot. Like, 120 life points and 40 armor, you know?
Well, if you're just going to run into battle with just your helmet on, by all means, go right ahead.
I know, but still, you wouldn't really do that. So, it's interesting you asked this question, because I was reading in somewhere, I think it was one of the Q&As perhaps, that the Slayer helmet will be getting a buff at some point in the future to bring it in line with the rest of the EOC updates. Because comparing it to the Runefall helmet, the Runefall helmet has an armor value of 170 and a life point value of plus 600, whereas what you said, 30 armor and 60 life points really is kind of bad for a piece of armor like that. And speaking with regard to the nature of the Black Mask, I'm not even sure if the Black Mask does bonus anymore towards Slayer damage. Because it used to give you a small boost on your strength bonus, and now... Mm-hmm. I mean, with EOC, it's hard to tell what happened to all these kind of hidden bonuses like that. Like, what is the bonus of the Black Mask now as a part of the Slayer helmet? Is it what it used to be, or is it something else? So,
I remember.
It used to be a strength bonus, I think, or was it an accuracy bonus? I don't know. But I have no idea what the stats of those are now, because it's hard to see exactly what all the stats are summing up as and whatnot. But yeah, definitely worth updating. And but you know, at the same time, like I said, I was using it for my Blue Dragon task this week, and just using basic Carl's armor with diamond bolts and an Armadale crossbow. I didn't need to use any food or any prayer. Granted, I didn't have the vampirism aura running, but still, very limited amount of food needed for slayers, and that was with an armor value that's really not that great for a low-level monster. So for most slayer tasks, I imagine you can just power through with any kind of EOC stuff that exists now. The only real time you really do need top-of-the-line armor, I think, is for bossing.
Even then, you need to do bossing in order to get the stuff to do bossing anyway.
Exactly, and this is the concern that we've illustrated you and I many times before, and you know it looks like that's going to keep continuing with the level 90 armor. Anyways, thank you, veteran. Good question. Next one?
Okay, this next question is from Flash. Dear host, we've known for a while now that one of two new skills coming out this year is divination. But what do you guys think the second skill would be? Obviously, we don't know much about it so far, but it would be cool to see what you guys think for ideas. I was thinking along the lines of painting or art, where you could paint different objects like walls and fences around RuneScape and get experience from it. Taro, that probably won't be the new skill, but it seems like an interesting idea to me. So what do you guys think? Flash. All right, Shane, let's put our thinking caps on. What would this new skill be?
All right, so first off, we know that divination is coming out, and the name of it is going to have something to do with the gods in some way or another. So we know that. That's point one. Point two is that they said the first and second skill will be related in the same way that mining and smithing are, or fishing and cooking. So one is going to be a primary skill. That's the first one, divination. And the second one will be a finishing skill, such as cooking. So, with that being said, and past things that we know are coming out in the future based on lore Q&As and content Q&As in general with RS3, here's my theory on the full thing. Divination. Let me just cite the definition here of what the actual definition of divination is. Divination. It is a noun. The practice of seeking knowledge of the future or the unknown by supernatural means. Hence, our God influence. So, my idea is that it's going to be a gathering skill. Not in the same way as woodcutting or mining or fishing, but what you're going to be gathering is you're going to be gathering knowledge about the RuneScape history and potentially the future of RS through these supernatural means, which ultimately comes down to your relationship with the gods. So that's the theory on divination. My theory, at least, on it. So now, taking that theory and that it could be a knowledge-gathering skill, learning about history in the past and whatnot. So, what do we do with what we learn? What do we do with it?
Convert people to your side?
No. There's better things to do than that. Why is that so funny?
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure I just alienated like 30 people listening to me right now.
Why?
Oh, just because. But
okay. All right. So my theory is that you're going to take this and it's going to be kind of like a learning skill. And then the second skill will be the finishing skill where you use this knowledge to enhance existing things in the game. Now, it could be along the line of player-owned ports or something like that, where you discover a little piece of armor or something, and then you use your knowledge gained with divination to uncover the methods to doing it. But you also need the second finishing skill in a certain level to be able to actually apply this knowledge that you have in your head to the piece of equipment or the piece of armor or whatever it might be. And the reason I say this, that it needs to be something to enhance armor, hatchets, weapons, that sort of thing, to make it truly yours, is because you learn it through divination, but then through the secondary finishing skill, you apply that knowledge that you've gathered and make something better. And the reason I say this is because last year in the Q&As, they said that eventually they want to bring in a system where you'll end up almost leveling your hatchet, leveling your pickaxe. So you start with what's a run-of-the-mill pickaxe, and then you end up with something that's inherently better based on the way you play the game. So this also would fit into their general sense of your decisions that you make with the gods and divination having an effect on the outcome of the game all the way down to your specific equipment. That's my prediction for the second skill. A finishing skill to enhance existing things in game.
I don't know what it would be. If this I really have no idea. Yeah, I haven't got a clue on this one, so it's all on you. We kind of broke it down what our thoughts were at the very beginning when this was first announced. What would be the second one is we haven't got a clue yet. So we know what divination is going to be like. We don't have a clue.
Yep.
See?
So that's my theory on it. So hopefully that provides some insight. It'd be interesting to hear what everyone else's theories are on this and how it's going to all relate, because it's definitely going to be coming to us soon, and I'd like to get some predictions down in official form at some point or another. So, all right.
Okay.
Moving on to the tech news. So, Instagram takes a bite out of Vine. You'll remember last week that we talked about Instagram bringing videos and whatnot to their service. And it appears as though that the number of people sharing Vine videos has declined significantly.
I saw that being surprising.
Well, yeah, because Vine was... Vine Buzz, get it?
Yes, yes.
It was a new kind of thing in that realm. Wasn't something that was tried before. So I found it interesting. You didn't?
I don't care for Facebook stuff anyway. This is dead news to me. And you know, people find it easier to upload a picture of their food than it is to record a picture of them eating. And so the whole idea of keep uploading random videos, yeah, we have many services. One of the most popular one is YouTube.
Yeah, but those are long-form videos, not just quick little things that you snap for a couple seconds and be done with it, right?
So you're making a GIF.
Yeah. That's effectively what it is.
So yeah, and most people do that and make the internet laugh like crazy, but if you want to do it and knock yourselves out, this is not for me. I could care less.
Previously, Twitter shares for Vine were 2.5 million on the 19th, and after Instagram's video service that dropped to 1.5 million. As of the last measurement, Vine was down to about a million. So, cut in half.
Mm-hmm. You know, people in kind of... people have to kind of remember, it's still easier to upload a picture that you just took and add like a million filters to it and call yourself a, you know, a journalist. It's kind of hard to take a video and try to edit it when you have like 3 seconds of material and call yourself a movie director.
Yeah, that's right.
Even then, you know, Yisheng, you and Ian and I both know how long and tedious it can be just to edit a movie.
Yep.
It's not quick.
Yeah, and I guess that's the reason why Vine appeared.
It doesn't work.
Yep.
All right. What's next, Shane?
All right. Next up, Google is potentially building an Android video game console.
Ooh.
So Google is potentially developing the video game console and wristwatch based on the Android OS, people say. The reason they're doing this is they're hoping to combat advances by Apple, because it's widely expected that Apple will release some sort of watch in the future and maybe even a video application with the Apple TV. So Google wants to get a jump on this.
Mm-hmm.
And they're also releasing some Android streaming device called the Nexus Q. You heard about that?
Nexus Q?
Yeah.
No.
Okay, neither did I. So they hope that that they'll release one of them this fall. They don't know which one yet. But I don't know. Which one do you think would be better?
Which one? Which, Google or the Apple one?
No, which one? The watch or the video game?
More potential? The video game. The problem with the, if you make a Google Watch, I think the problem is that it's gonna be a gimmick. How much can you do with something that's small and supposed to be strapped to your hand? What are you gonna do? Plug it in every night before you go to bed?
Yeah, you'd have to do that, wouldn't you?
The battery's not gonna last very long. So unless you're gonna sink, I don't know, do some solar panels strapped to your arm to power it up, it's not gonna last very long. And, you know, there was once one little thing that you can, if you start adding more stuff to something, you keep adding more stuff, they're going to forget that, oh, the watch is to tell time. It's what it's designed to do. It's like building a coat hanger. Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, this watch already exists, and Apple killed it. It was their square form factor iPod Nano. There were watch straps for that. You could have the radio and all your music on it. You could have a watch. You could have a compass, potentially. I mean, it's redundant having that many devices, I think. But we'll just have to wait and see, because that's how I felt before the iPad. But the iPad has found its own area as well. So, personally, I think the watch is the better venture to pursue, because the games that run on Android can already be done with an Android smartphone or media player. You just need a way to mirror it to the TV. And Apple's already got something like that. It's called iPad and AirPlay. So, anyways, just some interesting news to share. And also some bad news for BlackBerry. They announced their quarter one 2014 earnings. Let's just say it wasn't very good. The company only generated $3.1 billion revenue, which is up over the last year, but missed what most people were targeting, and it equated to a net loss of about $67 million or 13 cents a share.
Okay.
And of course, this bad news also applied to the shares as well, which dumped 24% in one day.
Uh-huh.
You know, I think it's time for BlackBerry to perhaps pack it in and just run their applications on Android or iOS.
Mm-hmm. Be a software developer instead of a hardware developer?
Yep. because something is just not clicking with people. People obviously are not feeling that BlackBerry is relevant to the mainstream, which is unfortunately the way marketing goes these days. So,
at one point it was. At one point it was the only phone to get because all the corporate world wanted one, needed it.
Yeah, exactly. And there are still BlackBerry users out there in the corporate world who won't use anything else. And they're probably the only ones at this point who are buying them.
Actually, the Veteran Affairs in San Francisco actually made it mandatory that everyone carries a BlackBerry as part of the, that's for work
so
related.
So painful.
Actually, it's a decent phone. Everyone gets one for free. But until that contract is gone, I don't know what they're going to do.
Oh, I feel so sorry for those people.
Actually, they just carry two phones, their personal one and one to keep in their desk drawer.
Yeah, I guess.
And then, if they need to move out, they'll grab that and be done.
Anyways, I think that's it for tech news, unless you want to talk anything more on this.
I don't know how good it's going to be to be playing Google apps on the TV like this, but we'll see. Never know.
All right. Moving on, then. So, the June skill of the month. Adiv has maintained his linear trajectory. He's gained 12.2 million XP so far, and we do have a race for second actually going on. Or maybe even a three-person race. We got Parnassius with 1.84 million experience in second. Third place is Flash with 1.82, and fourth place is Muramsko with 1.5 million experience. So there is a race going on there for second. It's almost a three-way race, but I think with 2 days left in the month, Adiv has this one in the bag.
Unless someone pulls a miracle or starts hacking.
Not likely. Adiv has gained 12.2 million experience, starting at 34 million experience.
You realize he's basically been having a steady, a constant line throughout the entire thing.
Yeah, no, that's what I said—a linear progression.
No, it's basically he's doing the same thing again and again. So he's kind of shows, you get the same thing every single day.
Yeah, it varies by about really 100k per day, sometimes 200, but that's the biggest variance if you look at the daily XP gain graph here.
That's him actually getting tired of watching rocks in his screen, so he has time to turn it off for an extra hour.
Well, you know what he said he does, is he said this is happening while programming.
Mm.
So that's how he's doing it. Because, mining is a very AFK-able skill. You'll need to check on it maybe once every 30 seconds. All you need to do is mine at the Living Rock Caverns and dump one of the ores on your action bar and then just tap, 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 tap whenever you want to drop it.
Oh,
so,
okay.
That's the way it works. All right, achievements of the week now. We got two of them this week. Oh, and for anyone wondering, the July scale of the month is Dungeoneering. Are you entering that one?
No. I don't have time to dungeon no life. Someone else will, not me.
Achievements of the week, two of them. First up is Eon, 99 summoning on the 27th.
And we have Mike, who somehow accidentally got 99 Constitution on June 27th. Oopsies.
So congratulations to you both. And he did that yesterday, and he said it was a lapse in concentration when he was doing the Troll Invasion minigame.
What'd he do?
He accidentally got Constitution XP by doing the combat version of it.
Pity.
So that's what happened there, yeah.
All right. So yeah, so I guess you have a pick for us, don't you, Shane?
Yes, I do. I was alerted that this website still exists. It used to exist back in 2001. It's a website for Windows users primarily. It covers pretty much all the services that can run on a Windows computer. Okay. So let's just say that you want to tune your system so that you have the bare essentials running and nothing else. This website will tell you what you can run and how to set that up. It's called Black Viper. This is actually the guy's online name. He's been doing this for, it's got to be at least 10 years now. I remember reading about this back in 2001. So it's a good resource to have. It exists for Windows 8, so if you're on that, you can do that. It's also got service configurations for Windows 7 and, of course, Vista and XP as well. So basically, it's a great way of tuning the system. Like, for example, on Windows 8, there's a biometrics service that runs for fingerprint readers. And the question is, why does such a service even need to exist in the system if you don't have a fingerprint reader, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, basically, you can turn them off. And then...
do I have to download anything in order to do it, or...?
No, no. This is all using the services dialog in Windows 8. So, for example...
Oh, Windows 8, okay.
Yeah, Windows 8, but there's also Windows 7 and Windows Vista as well that you can use. Like, for example, there's the fax service. Why would you need to fax something if you wanted to do that? Like, let's see, fax. Enables to send and receive faxes utilizing fax resources available on the network. So if you don't use that, why would you have that on, for example? And the default option for that is manual, meaning that it will start up if you request it. But you can just totally kill it off if you don't want it on. You can also see which ones start automatically. That's probably the best way to go about this and see if you want some of these available or not, like, for example, IP helper, network locations, or task scheduler, maybe. I don't know, but lots of them here that you could play with and try and disable to make your system faster if you're feeling that way. This used to be really an issue on systems when we were running out of memory, but not so much anymore. But nonetheless, it's a nice resource to have, and you can find it at blackviper.com.
All right.
Yep.
Okay, so if you want to tinker with your computer, there's the link.
Like you said, Chief O'Brien, 70 years later.
Actually, I don't know. Did he even live to be still that long or later? Because... in theory, you could wait in cryogenic animation until you really want to be dead.
Anyways, what have you been up to?
Me? Oh, I'm trying to get a new captain in port. And it's taking its sweet time to come out. I keep getting very bad ones. That one, though, is the worst
of most. What exactly are you trying to accomplish?
I'm trying to get a captain, which is completely random on PlayerUnknown ports, that would have a decent boost. I need a new one because my old one was really bad. The problem is, every time I get one that I think looks good on paper, when I see them, they're either cowards or miserable or cursed. It's like, oh, you're useless. So, I'm right. Just waiting.
Okay. Anything else?
Let's see. What else did I do? I think I did some dungeoneering last weekend. So that was good. Got me to 103. I did some of the dailies and I turned all the rocks, strange rocks, to make the statue and start over again. Other than that,
no, that's good.
Oh, and I got my full karma. It took me a while, but I finally did. Fought King Black Dragon
for
once.
In the museum?
Yeah. I was missing killing King Black Dragon, so I got one of my clanmates to go with me, and we just killed it. And was like, all right, we're done. It's simple now. You kill a lot of things.
Yeah. Lots of things right. are simple now in combat. Speaking of that, this week I did a Blue Dragon Slayer task, and as I said, it was very dull and mundane because, you know, you didn't have to use food or anything. As you're basically sitting there tapping buttons whenever a new ability came up that was ready to go off cooldown. So, did that. Did a clue scroll that I got from that, and that turned out to be garbage, which is unfortunate with the way that level 3 clues have gone these days, so... but aside from that, I discovered that I was eligible for my 10-year veteran cape. So sweet. Sometime in 2003 or 2002, I created my RS account. Unfortunately, I don't know the exact date when I did that, but I picked up my 10-year cape, so I have that now. So you can officially call me an old dinosaur now.
Technically, I joined before you, but I took those breaks in between.
Yeah, but so you had your veteran cape, right?
I would if I actually, I would if I was actually, you know, I would have my veteran cape if I actually played those, like, what, year and a half that I kind of went offline for a while.
No, no, you don't. It's just about account created. It doesn't matter if you're playing or not.
No. Oh, no. I remember, because I believe I played
Classic. So you would have it by now. Yeah.
Oh, I haven't really checked.
Yes, you should check. It's with Hans in Lumbridge there. I posted a picture of the cape emote right out in the Lumbridge Castle there because, you know, that is exactly right where you started when you started RS back then, way back before Tutorial Island. So that's the era we're talking about here. But also with that, I should note that as of the 28th today, June 28th, I've been a RuneScape member for 9 years. So that's a milestone that is today. So, wow. Nine and ten years, respectively.
What were we doing? We were all in school back in 9 years ago, weren't we?
Yep, that's right.
Let's see. Where's Hans?
There he is. Should be right in the courtyard there.
I see him.
The cape's 100K.
I'll buy 10 year. I gotta enter my pin. 6, 7. Oops. All right, there goes my 10 year cape. Sweet. Didn't know that.
6, 7.
What? No, we didn't hear anything.
All right. So you got your 10 year cape.
Yeah. Okay.
Woo! All right. So with that being said, I think we're done for this week.
Yeah, so happy 4th of July, and I'll see you in 2 weeks.
You know, Canada Day happens too, right?
Oh, well, you want to take a break too? Fine by me. I thought you could
have
your
Canadian
alliance.
No, I'm not taking a break. I'll be here next week, so.
Yes, with the Canadian alliance, as I recall.
That is to be determined based on this update. If it is indeed the Virago, Big Boss update, we'll be having combat-related people on the show to discuss that. So, that is the plan. So with that being said, see you next week, everyone, and have a good week.
Auf Wiedersehen.